KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 33 degrees still here in Atlantic. We look for a chance of light rain or light snow and mix throughout the midday hours, and then a chance of light rain this afternoon, a high around 40. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. Well, an Iowa company has recalled more than 1,000 pounds of pork jerky because the product's label doesn't list wheat, which can cause an allergic reaction for some consumers. Formosa Food Company of Hull is recalling 16-ounce individual packages of Formosa brand Pork Zoo, a cooked, seasoned, dried pork product. The product was made on various dates from November 29, 2012. Through November 29, 2012. There's no expiration date on that, but the label carries an establishment number, EST.2446. The jerky was sold on the Internet and through direct sales nationwide. The USDA said in a statement that the problem was found by food safety inspectors during a label review. Wheat is an ingredient in the soy sauce used in the product. There have been no reports of any sickened consumers. News time is 9:01.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A 26-year-old Sioux City man has pleaded not guilty to a charge stemming from a 9-hour standoff with police last month. Francisco Bayona Fonseca is charged with criminal mischief and aggravated assault. Police say he got into a fight with a man and stabbed him, and then argued with his former girlfriend and damaged her car. Police say Bayona Fonseca held off officers at a Sioux City home for more than 9 hours on March the 12th. The officers broke windows and entered the house to arrest Bayona Fonseca. There were no shots fired. And the trial was scheduled to begin on May the 28th. House Republicans have offered a major concession in the ongoing debate over an education reform plan. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
House Republicans have been suggesting a 2% increase in general state aid for schools, while Senate Democrats voted for a 4% hike in each of the next 2 years. Republicans now say they are willing to up the ante to the equivalent of a 4% increase in both years. But they are insisting that Democrats accept all the other parts of the education reform plan Republicans crafted. Democrats say they are pleased the GOP has finally acknowledged Iowa schools need the extra money, but Democrats refuse to accept the other policy components of the Republicans' education reform plan. Democrats say Republicans merely offered a my way or the highway approach. Governor Branstad, who backs the Republican offer, says they were just trying to meet the Democrats' price tag for education reform. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And a bill that boosts the penalty for interfering with law enforcement activities has cleared the Iowa House over the objections of more than a dozen lawmakers. About 3% of Iowans are African Americans, but Democratic Representative Mary Wolf of Clinton says last year in Iowa, 27% of the people who were convicted of interference with official acts were black.
Until somebody can tell me why it is that such an extremely disproportionate number of African Americans are convicted of interference with official acts, I am not comfortable voting yes for a bill that creates a new and much broader crime of interference with official acts.
The bill increases the penalty for someone who, for example, injures a police officer who's making an arrest. Representative Rick Olson, a Democrat from Des Moines, says the bill goes another step too far.
The defendant doesn't have to inflict the injury. He doesn't have to cause the injury. It's just that the clumsy cop causes his own injury, but yet the penalty is enhanced.
Representative Deborah Berry, a Democrat from Waterloo, says if the bill becomes law, it will have a tremendous impact on Iowa's minorities.
This particular bill is, we're going to see
an additional burden on our state prisons by it.
Representative Akail Abdul-Samad, a Democrat from Des Moines, says racism still does exist in the state of Iowa.
It's a catch-22 for a lot of us. I know it is for me, because I support my law enforcement officers. I support the work that the police officers do, but I also have to look at the reality of Iowa.
Representative Gary Worthen, a Republican from Storm Lake, responded.
We can't solve race problems by backing away from what we see as a crime.
Worthen said he's not willing to abandon the bill because of a minority impact statement. The bill also adds removal of an officer's communication device to the list of actions considered to be interference with official acts. Worthen said it applies to the communications devices used by police and prison staff.
Members of law enforcement will tell you, in this day and age, that communications device is their lifeline. Without that, they are out there on their own with no backup. So we need to move this forward.
And the bill passed the House Wednesday on a 77-17 vote. It passed the Senate April 1st by a unanimous vote and now goes to the governor for his consideration. Representative Bruce Braley says he's received a relief, rather, the U.S. Postal Service will continue its Saturday mail delivery. The Democrat from Waterloo said Iowa, where residents rely on the post office for a dependable mail service. He says the agency must find another way to solve its financial problems without burdening small towns and rural Americans. The Postal Service said in February that it had planned to switch to 5-day-a-week deliveries beginning in August for everything except packages. But Congress barred the move last month when it did not drop language from legislation that keeps the long-time ban on 5-day-only delivery. The Postal Service's governing board said Wednesday that it's not possible for the agency to meet its goals for reduced spending without altering the delivery schedule. Elsewhere in the news, two Waterloo police officers have received their police department's highest honor for rescuing 5 children from a house fire last month. Sean Bram and Dustin Lindemann were given the Medal of Valor during a brief ceremony held Wednesday in the City Council chambers in Waterloo. The officers rescued the children March 29th during a house fire. The officers at times had to crawl to reach the children who were between the ages of 4 and 11. All of the children were able to get out without injury. Bram is an 11-year department veteran. Lindemann has been with the department for 8 years. 3 fire departments in eastern Iowa have been awarded federal grants aimed at improving response time to emergencies. Those departments in Asbury, Marengo, and Charlotte will share nearly $140,000 from Firefighters Assistance Program that's run by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. The Asbury Community Fire Department will get more than $91,000. The City of Marengo's Fire Department will receive nearly $40,000. And the Charlotte Community Fire Association will get a little over $8,000. Money will be used for training, protective equipment, and other supplies that will allow more effective response time to emergencies. Fire has destroyed a popular Mexican restaurant and a restored 2-story brick building in Ottumwa. A fire was reported late Monday, and firefighters struggled with the blaze for hours. Assistant Fire Chief Mike Kraft said that fighting the fire was complicated by many spaces within the building where oxygen and flames could hide. After trying to extinguish the fire for about 2 hours, Kraft said firefighters focused more on ensuring the blaze didn't spread to adjacent buildings. Deputy Chief Corey Bench said the building contained the restaurant, which was destroyed, and now there's a danger that the structure could collapse. Local fire officials and the state fire marshal's office are investigating the cause of that blaze. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, stocks have started the day with little change as the Dow and the S&P 500 again begin at record highs. Stock futures were mixed as retailers reported March sales numbers, and the government said the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell sharply last week to a seasonally adjusted 346,000. That improvement helped to ease concerns about the weak March jobs report that was released last Friday. U.S. retailers are reporting modest sales gains for March as consumers held back due to the cold weather during the month and continued worry about the economy. Overall, 14 retailers reported today that the revenue at stores open at least a year rose an average of 0.6%. That number comes from the research firm Retail Metrics. A man accused of stabbing more than a dozen people at a Houston-area college is making his first court appearance this morning since being charged in the attack. 20-year-old Dylan Quick is charged with 3 counts of aggravated assault in the Tuesday attack at the Lone Star Community College in Cypress. A sheriff said Quick told authorities he had fantasized about stabbing people since he was 8 years old. Officials say 14 people were wounded. All are expected to survive. Overseas, another day of warlike rhetoric from North Korea, which is saying it has, quote, powerful striking means on standby for a missile launch. Officials in Seoul and Washington are speculating the North is getting ready to test a medium-range missile during the upcoming national celebrations. News time is 9:10.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
In the funeral announcements, Leona Burkhart, age 93, of Guthrie Center, died Monday in Guthrie Center. Private family graveside services for Leona Burkhart will be held today at the Union Center Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Or the Union Cemetery, that is, in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Mary McCaffrey, age 93, of Manila, died Saturday at the Manila Manor. A massive Christian burial service for Mary McCaffrey will be held today at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. Sean Scott Hockenberry, age 31, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Services for Sean Hockenberry will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Ed Van Tyker, age 98, of Manning, died Sunday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. A massive Christian burial service for Ed Van Tyker will be held Friday, tomorrow at 10:30, at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. Eugene Gene Westfall, age 89, of Fontenelle, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Celebration of Life services for Gene Westfall will be held Friday at 1:30 at the St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is in charge of the arrangements. John Headley, age 81, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday in Texas. Funeral services for John Headley will be held this coming Saturday at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. James Delbert Jensen, age 72, of Kimberly City, Missouri, and formerly of Audubon, died December 20th. Celebration of Life memorial services for James Jensen will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. James Otto Schumann, age 88, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for James Schumann will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. And Larry Kessler, age 74, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. There will be a private committal service for Larry Kessler. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic.